Friday of the sixth week of ordinary time. The first reading is Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 and following. The whole world spoke the same language, using the same words. While the people were migrating in the east, they came upon a valley in the land of Shinar and settled there. They said to one another, "Come, let us mold bricks and harden them with fire." They used the bricks for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the sky, and so make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered all over the earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower that they had built. Then the Lord said, "If now, while they are one people, all speaking the same language, they have started to do this, nothing will later stop them from doing whatever they presume to do. Let us then go down and there confuse their language, so that one will not understand what another says." Thus the Lord scattered them from there all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the speech of all the world. It was from that place that he scattered them all over the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Dear family, this is the account of the Tower of Babel. Notice important keys here. This people found themselves advanced in technology, and they were filled with pride, and they felt, "We're going to reach heaven." Well, reaching heaven is our goal. However, the problem is how and what do we mean by reaching heaven? For them, it was not communion with God, but rather, like Adam and Eve, it meant becoming gods, becoming powerful, controlling everything. We will be famous, we will be important. And this was the great temptation, just like in the beginning. It's always the same. So a nation, a people, advance in technology, what does that remind you of? Yes, this is our times. Are we not living in Babel right now? We have internet, we have emails, we have so much communication. We can take a flight and in a matter of hours be anywhere in the world. And yet, we are so confused. We're so divided. We have disdained the path of God as a personal opinion. And this is our tragedy. It's like having a lot of expressways, but not knowing where to go. And GPS will not help you in this matter, because GPS can only help you if you know where you are going. What is your true goal? The gospel is Mark chapter 8, verses 34 and following. Jesus summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it. What profit is there for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? What would one give in exchange for his life? Whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this faithless and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. He also said to them, Amen, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see that the kingdom of God has come in power. The Gospel of the Lord. Dear family, this gospel follows immediately after the announcement by Jesus of his passion. The first announcement, which was followed then by the reaction of Peter trying to protect him from this tragic death and saying, no, this cannot happen to you. Not only does Jesus tell him, get behind me, Satan, and calls him to follow him, but now Jesus gathers all the disciples and the crowd, because this path is not only for Peter, is not only for the disciples, but is for every Christian. We cannot be Christians if we don't follow Jesus to the cross. This is this essence of the teaching. But the truth is that it causes us a lot of fear to think about this. And when Lent comes, we think it's just about moderation, maybe making some kind of penances. It's not just about that. It's about giving up your life to follow Jesus. It is truly forfeiting your own life. Now, there's nothing greater, more precious, more important than our own lives to us. So what is Jesus saying? Well, he's saying that if we give him our life, he's going to join it with his life, and our lives are going to be fulfilled. So really, it's a matter of trust. Are we willing to let him have our lives? Now, Mark is writing to Christians at the time of Nero, and some of their brothers and sisters in the faith had been burned at the stake or crucified themselves. So try to see the magnitude of the message that is being presented. There was nothing more horrific than the cross. It was the execution reserved for slaves, for rebels, for violent criminals, and it was carried in public to serve as a powerful deterrent. The condemned person was forced to carry the crossbeam to the site of execution, where it would be fastened to the upright beam, and then the person will be hanged or nailed to the cross to die, and this will sometimes take a few days of torment. Now, if this is presented to you, you are just shocked at the seriousness of God's teaching. Now, Jesus is not saying, I'm calling you to do this for a great cause, or not even for God who is in heaven. No, for me, he says. So now God, the absolute, the one that you live and die for, is speaking to you. He is Jesus Christ himself. And he's saying, trust me with your life. So what do we have to do to give up our lives? How do we die to ourselves? Well, the Lord is talking in a legal term when he says deny. It means disownment. In other words, my life is not mine anymore. And it means that I'm going to allow him to give me his life, his grace, by which I can start putting to death my habits, my patterns, my attachments. In other words, my old life. Now, we don't even know how to do this. And that is why we need community. And particularly, we need spiritual direction. That is why in our community, we have accompaniment. It's an essential element of the community covenant. To allow God through that honest conversation, that seeking together the truth, to come into knowledge of God and into self-knowledge. Why do some things cause me turmoil, bother me? What is the root of it? And so the Lord will take us there so that we can give it to Him, surrender it to Him, and we can begin a new life. And the Lord asks us, what value is it for you to have gains or profit or whatever if you lose your life? And He's telling us, you know, if you want to preserve yourself as you are, you're going to lose everything. You're going to lose your life. But if you trust me and give it to me and allow me to bring you to new life, then your life will be permanent, will be eternal. Now, the Lord speaks about this people of this world as a faithless generation, literally adulterous. Remember, He is the bridegroom, and He is sorrowful to see that His bride continues to backslide, in fact, to be adulterous. And He's telling us, if you are so concerned about human disapproval, about your reputation, about your interests, that you don't wholeheartedly allow me to touch your wounds so that you get to know them and change, then you cannot have anything to do with me. So why does the Lord at the end say, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see that the kingdom of God has come in power? Well, the answer to that is that, first of all, the next passage we have in Mark is the transfiguration, where they see the glory of God. But actually, it also refers to the Lord's passion and resurrection. That's the kingdom of God coming power. And also, for all generations to come, it is the power of the kingdom of God working through the church to transform our lives. If you have experienced the power of Jesus Christ in His death and resurrection, then you know. May the Lord bless you.